Whew. All right, we made it once again to Friday. It's something else when Friday rolls around, isn't it? 5 p.m.?
Wow.
It's like double happy hour time. 5 p.m. and Friday.
I lost my head for a moment.
And time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. You can tell that Heidi's having a good time. Heidi Morales in the house, of course. As my lovely wife and co-host, and me, Tom Ryan, with you for the next hour. If you've been listening at all on Fridays, you know that we've been covering the Great American Songbook for quite a while. In fact, this is week number 29. I didn't think we'd be able to squeeze out over half a year on it. But I think it's been rather interesting for me especially. I'm learning a lot as we move along. But as we get to the end, you can tell that things are starting to change. I think that this after this show, there might be two more to get to the end of where we're going. But at this point in time, the Great American Songbook was competing with a new, wildly popular style of music that had absolutely nothing in common with the Great American Songbook. One was mature. The other was aimed primarily at kids. One was based primarily around songwriters, while the other was based around personality and performance. The Great American Songbook writers held their ground, but rock and roll was chipping off gigantic chunks of its appeal, especially to a new generation of kids who were totally into rock and roll. It was, in other words, the Great American Songbook was not necessarily usually a universally popular style any longer. It's no wonder that the fans of the songbook despised rock and roll for that reason, if you think about it. And it's also why we have very precious few examples of rock and rollers performing the songs that they were competing with in the late 50s. So now that we're in the mid to late 50s, it's very hard to find anybody of, say, popular, you know, rock style performers touching the material because it was sort of the enemy in a sense. It was, there was something going on in terms of like that sort of like, I don't know, symbiosis or lack of symbiosis between them, which is going to bring us pretty much to the end of the Great American Songbook in the next 2 weeks. That being said, we've still got a great lineup of songs that I think deserve to be mentioned, as the songbook did continue in the 1950s. Johnny Mercer is the first songwriter to appear in today's show. He's been appearing a lot since he popped up about 10 shows ago. And he's also one of the guys now that is writing words and music. He's not only contributing words to other people, but he's also writing his own songs in their entirety. This happens to be one of them. It's called Something's Gotta Give. It was written for a Fred Astaire musical called Daddy Long Legs. And in it, as you can tell, Fred Astaire at this point in time is middle-aged. And the song was meant to more or less address that, as he was playing a middle-aged man who was falling in love with a woman who was much younger than him. It was sort of like the irresistible force meeting an immovable object. How do you express that? Well, when that happens, something's got to give. Thus, Johnny Mercer's song title. The version we've got is off of an album called Swingin' on the Moon. It's performed by Mel Torme.
When an irresistible force such as you meets an old immovable object like me, you can bet as sure as you live, something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an old implacable heart such as mine, don't say no, because I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna get kissed. So on guard, who knows what the fates have in store. From their vast mysterious sky. I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. But how long can anyone try? Fight, 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 fight it with all of our might. Chances are some heavenly star-spangled night we'll find out as sure as we live. When there's a meeting of cosmic forces, you can't separate them with 10 wild horses. Face it, something's gotta give. Something's gotta give.
Heidi's a big fan of Mil Torme.
I am.
I don't know where that comes from, but I find that interesting. He's a songwriter in his own right, as much as a performer. There he is, though, performing a song, as I said, that was written by Johnny Mercer. Next up is a song that's called Enamorata. The lyrics are by Jack Brooks. Don't know much about him, but the music was written by Harry Warren, which is remarkable to me that we're talking about Harry Warren, because we've been covering Harry Warren in this set of 29 one-hour shows, probably going all the way back to show number 4. I mean, this is a guy that wrote some incredibly, actually, he wrote like Jeepers Creepers, you know what I mean? The old stuff. And here he is in the mid-50s writing a hit song that was used in a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis film. In fact, Dean Martin sang this song in the film, had the first hit with it. At the same time as that was going on, Jerry Vale had an agent who had called him up and said, you know, you should really go to do this song. It's going to be great for you. Even though Dean Martin's going to release it, I think you should. And he did. He recorded his own version. And I have to play Jerry Vale's version because I never really, truly listened to Jerry Vale. But Jerry Vale reminds me so much of my father.
And mine too.
Really? Your dad's too?
Yeah.
Did your dad say the same thing? Like, listen to the way he enunciates his lyrics. Listen, you can understand every word, not like that garbage that you listen to. So I heard so much Jerry Vale growing up as a kid that I had a grudging respect for it, even though it did not suit my taste profile at all. So let's go back and revisit what my childhood soundtrack sounded like when my dad was home, going back about maybe, 50 years ago. Jerry Vale with Enamorata.
Enamorata, enamorata, say you be mine. If our lips should meet, enamorata, kiss me, sweet, enamorata. And say you're mine with a love as warm as wine. I'm at heaven's door in Amurada. And say you're mine. as one. I'm at heaven's door in Amurata. Wanting more and more in Amurata. You're a symphony, a very beautiful sonata. My enamorada, say that you're my sweetheart, my love.
Wow, I feel like I'm 11 years old again. For me, I can hear why I was making my point about how this music was beginning to go head-to-head with rock and roll for rather obvious reasons. If you're a rock and roll fan, it's just not going to work with these songs. That's just not a thing. This next song, in fact, isn't yet another example of the same sort of thing. It was it won the Academy Award for the Best Original Song in the year 1955, written by Paul Francis Webster, with music by Sammy Fain. It's based upon an aria from Puccini's Madame Butterfly. Excuse me. The fact of the matter is that after it was written, even a lot of the singers of their time weren't really that into the song until all of a sudden the Four Aces recorded it and had a hit with it. Then a lot of people realized, oh, this is actually hit material, so we might be able to do something with this. I have a version. This is about as close as I come to playing a rock and roll artist today. Well, maybe one more exception. Definitely one more exception later on. But Clyde McFadder, who was the original lead singer of the Drifters in later years, was recording a lot of what I could say great American songbook tunes. And he recorded a version of Love is a Many Splendored Thing. Here is Clyde McFadder's version.
Thing. It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring. Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that makes a man a king. Once on a high and windy hill, in the morning mist, two lovers kissed. And the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught my heart to sing. Yes, true love's a many splendored things. Touched my silent heart and taught my heart to sing.
You might note that most of the songs that are part of the Great American Songbook at this point in time were written for movies. I think that's the case pretty much with every song we've played so far. It's the case with the next song we're about to play. Theater is still a main source for songs for the Great American Songbook. But by the 50s, it was the movies were really beginning to take over in almost every way. And rock and roll was not making great inroads in terms of popular film, other than the occasional weird rock and roll, you know, what would you call it? The movies that are about juvenile delinquents and such. But this next tune was written by Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn for a film called The Tender Trap, starring Debbie Reynolds, Frank Sinatra. The title song became a huge hit, lost for the Academy Award for Best Original Song to the track that we had just heard, but I think it went on to become a more well-known hit over time. It was associated with Sinatra for years and years and years, so he's the perfect person to be singing this song. Here's Frank Sinatra's version of Love is the Tender Trap.
You see a pair of laughing eyes, and suddenly you're sighing sighs. You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap. Those eyes, those sighs, they're part of the tender trap. You're hand in hand beneath the trees, and soon there's music in the breeze. You're acting kinda smart until your heart just goes whap. Those trees, that breeze, they're part of the tender trap. Some starry night, when her kisses make you tingle, she'll hold you tight, and you'll hate yourself for being single. And all at once it seems so nice, the folks are throwing shoes and rice. You hurry to a spot that's just a dot on the map. You're hooked, you're cooked, you're caught in the tender trap. Some starry night, when her kisses make you tingle, she'll hold you tight, and you'll hate yourself for being single. And all at once it seems so nice, the folks are throwing shoes and rice. You hurry to a spot that's just a dot on the map, and then you wonder how it all came about. It's too late now, there's no getting out. You fell in love, and love is the tender trap.
Frank. From 1955, his version of Love is the Tender Trap. Now, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Heidi, correct me if I'm wrong, when we did a show that we basically dedicated to exclusively to one songwriting team. It was Rodgers and Hammerstein. And we had covered...
I can't even remember what I had for dinner last night. Sorry.
I know the feeling. But... I can at least refer to my notes.
There you go.
But
it didn't happen unless you write it down.
That's right. Man, there's a lot that doesn't happen.
We should move to Vegas.
But I feel like I live there. And in that show, we covered songs that they had written for, I think, over the course of three different Broadway shows, which was more than enough to fill up an entire show of just their material because they were so popular on Broadway. Another songwriting team that it's probably true that we could have done the same thing for would have been the team of Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner, or Lerner and Lowe. In 1956, they had completed writing the musical My Fair Lady. And there are so many great songs in My Fair Lady that they're still wonderful to hear. And that's going to make up a good portion of what we're going to be playing for the next portion of this entry. One thing I wanted to make, I wanted to start with, I'm going to actually play a couple of the versions of the songs from the Broadway cast recording. But before I do that, I want to play a version of a jazz interpretation of the song On the Street Where You Live. And I want to do that because I've been making the point from the very beginning that the Great American Songbook was responsible for supplying material for jazz artists. And even though by now a lot of jazz was moving away from the Great American Songbook as a source, there was still plenty of artists who were still doing it and doing it quite well, which is why I'm going to play Oscar Peterson's version of On the Street Where You Live.
Thank you.
the great Oscar Peterson performing his version, instrumental version, of course, of On the Street Where You Live. So many great songs came from My Fair Lady. I'm going to play a total of three to cover it. And the fact that you can really see that how much time is changing, in the fact that, I mean, really before, up until now, I very rarely played the actual Broadway version of the song, because it got popular on Broadway, that usually mean there would be so many other cover versions and I had so many to choose from. Well, for these songs, quite honestly, there's hundreds of versions of I Could Have Danced All Night that I could choose, including odd ones like Benny King, of all people, did a version of it. And I've grown accustomed to her face. The songs are interesting in that in the show itself, I Could Have Danced All Night was sung by Julie Andrews in the character of Eliza Doolittle, the woman who was being tutored to improve her grammar and her method of speech. And the second track, I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face, was performed by Professor Henry Higgins, the man who was the tutor, performed by Rex Harrison, who was totally snobbish toward Eliza and had basically been putting her down for most of the show, but it became more and more obvious as the show developed that there was a closeness and a bond between them. So when she decides to leave and go out on her own, now that she basically has become this...
A lady.
he needs to stop and think very quickly about what it is that he should do. And I think that they make for a nice pairing. So I'm going to play them both back to back, right from the Broadway cast of My Fair Lady. We'll hear Julie Andrews performing I Could Have Danced All Night and Rex Harrison's version from the show of I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to sit it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
It's a queen now, don't you agree now? She ought to be in bed.
I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced all night.
I understand, dear, it's all been grand, dear, but now it's time to sleep.
I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings. done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced.
I've grown accustomed to her face. She almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune that she whistles night and noon. Her smiles, her frowns, her ups, her downs are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I was serenely independent and content before we met. Surely I could always be that way again. I've grown accustomed to her looks, accustomed to her voice, accustomed to her face. Marry Freddy. What an infantile idea. What a heartless, wicked, brainless thing to do. But she'll regret it. She'll regret it. It's doom before they even take the vow. I can see her now, Mrs. Freddy Eynsford Hill, in a wretched little flat above a store. I can see her now, not a penny in the till, and a bill collector beating at the door. She'll try to teach the things I taught her, and end up selling flowers instead. Begging for her bread and water, while her husband has his breakfast in bed. In a year or so, when she's prematurely grey and the blossom in her cheek has turned to chalk, she'll come home and lo, he'll have upped and run away with a social climbing heiress from New York. Poor life! How simply frightful! How humiliating! How delightful! How poignant it'll be on that inevitable night when she hammers on my door in tears and rags. Miserable and lonely, repentant and contrite. Will I take her in or hurl her to the wolves? Give her kindness or the treatment she deserves? Will I take her back or throw the baggage out? Well, I'm a most forgiving man. The sort who never could, ever would, take a position and staunchly never budge. Just a most forgiving man. But I shall never take her back. If she were crawling on her knees, let her promise to atone, let her shiver, let her moan. I'll slam the door and let the hellcat freeze. Marry Freddy. Ah! I'm so used to hear her say good morning every day. Her joys, her woes, her highs, her lows are second nature to me now. Like breathing out and breathing in. I'm very grateful she's a woman and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. I've grown accustomed to the trace of something in the air, accustomed to her face. ¶¶
big Broadway guy, but I always loved that show. That was just remarkable. If I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember that as that last moment was happening, Eliza appears at the doorway, and then the curtain drops.
I never saw it, the play, only the movie, so.
It's like she comes back, you know, but then, boom, that's it. All right, back to the Great American Songbook around this time. You know, Heidi, we've gotten this far now, 29 hours worth of songs. And so far, we featured one female songwriter in the entire series. Her name was Dorothy Green. She's responsible for The Way You Look Tonight, A Fine Romance, I'm in the Mood for Love. Yet, obviously, well-known, incredibly popular work. She's the only woman out of about maybe 140 different songwriters that we've covered in this series up until this point, if you could imagine, until now. Here is the second woman. Her name is Betty Comden. She was basically a writing team with Adolph Green. They were like a musical comedy duo, and they performed shows. In fact, they performed a lot of shows like when Leonard Bernstein was very young. He was part of like a troupe with them, and they would perform together. So it's only natural that the team of Betty Comden and Adolph Green would write songs on occasion with Leonard Bernstein, but in this instance, it was their other songwriter who they would go to, Jules Stein. And they wrote this song called Just in Time for a film called Bells Are Ringing. The song was eventually taken up by Tony Bennett, had a big hit with it in 1956. He recorded it pretty much for the rest of his entire life. In fact, he performed it at the Radio City Music Hall show of, announcing his retirement at 95 years of age just last year. Tony Bennett performed this song at Radio City Music Hall. It's called Just in Time. Here is Tony Bennett's version.
Just in time, I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed, my bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Just in time, you found me just in time and changed my lonely life that lovely day. Were tossed, my bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, and now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. For love came just in time, you found me just in time and changed my lonely life that lovely day.
Tony Bennett. Every time we play Tony Bennett now, I feel like I just need to just shake my head in awe. He just did so much great work in his lifetime.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I mentioned that
Song was from, I think I mentioned that it was from a musical comedy called Bells Are Ringing, and from 1956. Well, so was this next song. So it's the same composers. Again, it's Betty Comden and Adolph Green with the music written by Jules Stein. Most of the hit versions of this song have been, like I said, it's mostly the people who were very non-rock and roll of this at this point in time. People like Nat King Cole, Bobby Darin, Doris Day recorded it. I have a version, though, that was put down a number of years later. In fact, maybe in the past decade, anyway, released by Van Morrison off of an album that he called Versatile. So it's a little fun. We haven't heard from Van in a while in this Great American Songbook. So let's let him sing The Party's Over.
The party's over, it's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon, taken the moon away. It's time to wind up this masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be played. The party's over. Flicker and stir. You danced and dreamed all through the night. Seems so right being with her. But you gotta wake up, wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over.
The album Versatile.
Yes, because he is.
Absolutely. Van Morrison, of course, performing his version of The Party's Over. We are working our way toward the end of a series that has lasted for 29 weeks, 29 hours of songs that we've dug up for the Great American Songbook, its history. It's been a great deal of fun. We're getting near the end now. As we do this, I'm going to predict it's about two more shows to get us there. And a lot of the names that are popping up around now tend to be a lot of repeats, which is a good thing for them, of course. Frank Lesser is the guy that's been with, basically, we've been talking about him now for maybe the past 10 shows or so. He's one of the few writers that was writing on his own. Not a very common thing in the Great American Songbook, especially in the earlier years. But the Broadway musicals like Guys and Dolls and How to Succeed in Business, they were all his. And he wrote this song for a Broadway musical called The Most Happy Fella. And it became a hit right on the heels of the show by a group called The Four Lads. Now, The Four Lads were about as far away from rock and roll as you could possibly get. And this is one of those songs that I always resented because I thought that The Four Lads sounded so hopelessly square when they sang their version of this song that it just rubbed me the wrong way. As a kid, I loved rock and roll, and hearing these guys harmonizing like a barbershop quartet thing of a song just didn't work for me. So I'm sorry, but I'm not going to play the Four Lads version. Dean Martin recorded a version. Now, it's, you know, it's something if I say Dean Martin's version is infinitely cooler. But I am going to say that, and that's why I'm going to play Dean Martin's version of Frank Lesser's Standing on the Corner.
Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Than standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. I'm the cat that got the cream. Haven't got a girl, but I can dream. Haven't got a girl, but I can wish. So I take me down to Main Street, and that's where I select my imaginary dear. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the girls the eye. If you got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try. Try standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, or for the woo look in your eye. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
Of course, Dean Martin. All right, going to try to squeeze in two here. This is another song by Harry Warren. We played a song by him earlier, Enamorada. What's crazy about that, Heidi, is that he goes all the way back to like the very beginning of when we started to do this. The guy is known for like, he's written over 800 songs, including songs like I Found a $1 Million Baby in a 5 and 10 cent store.
Doesn't seem like a big enough word.
Right? Exactly. 800 songs, and he, you know, he started writing popular songs back in like the early 30s. So to have said that he's still active in like the mid 50s is rather remarkable. But he wrote this song for a film called An Affair to Remember. It's the title song. The version I'm going to play is an instrumental by Al Hurt.
Thank you.
There it is. The Great Al Hurt from New Orleans, of course. We'll squeeze in one more, a Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn tune, two names that we've heard over and over again in the Great American Songbook series. This was for a film called The Joker is Wild. Sinatra starred in it, sang this song. He also, this is where he introduced that song Chicago, but I think this was the bigger hit. And it's awesome because it's one of my favorite arrangements by Nelson Riddle, who is my favorite arranger of Sinatra's songs. This is his version of All the Way. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week as we begin to conclude this series.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest trees, that's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is, that's how deep it goes, if it's real. When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you. All the way. Through the good or lean years, and for all the in-between years, come what may. Who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way. Love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all.